Towards a Spiritualized Society, Orville, An Experiment in Prefigurative Utopianism, Doctoral Thesis by Suryamayi Ashwini Clarence Smith. Chapter 3. Contextualizing Orville, The Intentional Community Phenomenon. Quote, at a certain stage, it might be necessary to follow the age-long device of the separate community, in which the consciousness of the individual might concentrate on its evolution in surroundings where all was turned and centered towards the one endeavor, and next to formulate and develop the new life in this prepared spiritual atmosphere. Sri Aurobindo. Establishing intentional communities in which to pioneer alternative ways of living than in dominant cultures and societies is, as Sri Aurobindo pointed out, nothing new. They have been a recurring phenomenon throughout human history. The earliest record is found in St. Paul's letters, dated 5th century AD. The first known piece of social science research on these is an 1844 study on communalism in America by Mary Hennell, titled An Outline of the Various Social Systems and Communities Which Have Been Founded on the Principle of Cooperation. In this chapter, I situate Orville in light of the rich history of intentional communities and my research within the study of these. I also consider Orville's roots in the Indian ashram tradition and how it is distinct from an ashram and other guru-centric organizations and communities. Lyman Tower Sargent defines intentional community, an umbrella term that encompasses the vast array of historical and contemporary communal experiments, as a group of five or more adults and their children, if any, who come from more than one nuclear family and who have chosen to live together to enhance their shared values or for some other mutually agreed upon purpose. Alternate terms used are communes, utopian communities, communal utopias, cooperative communities, eco-villages, etc. Such communities have come into existence for many different reasons and taken various forms throughout history. They have been religious, spiritual, and secular in nature. They include groups that are strongly bounded, such as monastic orders, and others that are open, such as educational communities. Some aspire to be institutionally complete, developing their own educational, economic, and governmental institutions. Others, such as co-housing cooperatives, arise to fulfill a specific socio-economic need. Although the majority are established in rural areas, they exist in urban settings too. Co-housing cooperatives are a common feature of major cities such as London and San Francisco. Christiania, a commune situated within the city of Copenhagen, is among the largest in the world. They include anarchist communes and ones planned by governments. While intentional communities, by and large, have been critiqued as escapist, insular, indoctrinating, and incapable of perpetuating themselves, they have also attracted recognition for their radical attempts to reinvent society and for pioneering progressive practices that were later adopted into mainstream society. In the following sections, I will trace the historical development of these communities, highlighting features that offer the most relevant points of comparison with Orville. These include communities inspired by utopian ideals and by Indian spirituality, the involvement of governments in establishing or supporting various communes, and Orville's contemporaries. Intentional Communities, a historical introduction. Spiritual, religious, and secular roots of intentional communities. The earliest known forms of intentional communities are religious and spiritual in nature. Buddhism and Christianity both have an extant monastic tradition dating back at least 2,000 years. Sanskrit, perhaps the world's most ancient Indian language, has a specific word for spiritual communities, sangha, and India has a living legacy of ashrams, spiritual residential communes, which today exist throughout the world. The first recorded account of a communitarian movement seeking benefits other than religious or spiritual seclusion is found in St. Paul's 5th century letters, describing a wave of communitarianism among Christians who sought political and cultural freedoms within the enclave of community living. The first record of secular communes dates back to the 12th and 13th centuries, where rapidly destabilizing social relations in Europe due to newly emerging wealth is said to have fomented their creation. The following quotation is a description of this phenomenon. The scene it conveys, striking me, is similar to that of the 1960s, the period in which Orville was founded. The mountain paths and town ghettos all over Europe were overrun from time to time by wandering fanatics, militants, flower people, most of whom preached brotherhood and poverty. The 1960s were also a period of social upheaval, and contemporary scholars of intentional community have noted that communitarianism as community building tends to cluster numerically in times of extreme stress caused by cultural confusion, usually generated by radical changes in the social and cultural environment. The fact that these early communitarians sought out freedoms that were not only religious, but also related to aspects of public life and social life is significant, for it demonstrates that communitarianism as a device for the pursuit of alternative, and at least by internal understandings, progressive lifestyles, has historical antecedents distinct from religious and monastic forms. Given the spiritually inspired, socially reformist nature of the Orville Project, it is also important to note that social change was sought among and enacted by religious peoples in creating these separate communities, a trend which we will see continues throughout the history of intentional communities. The first wave of utopian societies. What are considered the first utopian communities are the first wave intentional communities established in the 19th century as a result of a synthesis between practical communitarians and utopian writers, in which a variety of religious and secular, but not aspiritual, communities were established, primarily in the United States and other British colonial territories such as New Zealand. These were based on the prescriptions of European utopian social theorists of the time, such as Robert Owen, Charles Fourier, and Henri Saint-Simon, used contemporary literary utopias, such as Étienne Cabet's Voyage en Icarie and Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward as blueprints, and were inspired by the transcendentalist authors and poets Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. While these communities were the product of an intellectual elite and attracted a significant number of educated, cultivated, and well-respected individuals, politicians, scientists, academics, social reformers, and educators, such as the early feminist Frances Wright and Richard Owen, Indiana State geologist and university president, their practice was often derided and threatened, both by law and local communities who considered them to be deviant. Under various combinations of external and internal pressures, most disbanded, disintegrated, or changed form, and were thus considered to be failures, and continue to be, in popular opinion. How we evaluate the success and failure of intentional communities was significantly problematized, however, in Rosabeth Cantor's 1972 sociological study, Commitment and Community. She proposes a number of measures of success for such communal experiments, such as whether the community satisfied its members during the time it was active, that are of continued relevance in assessing these today. Among the most famous of these utopian communities are New Harmony, a social reformist community, and Oneida, a religious perfectionist commune, both in the United States. New Harmony was founded by the British industrialist Robert Owen in Indiana in 1825 as an experiment in social reform, but exhausted his funds within 2 years, members failing to engage in the economic development of the community. While the project of the utopian commune was dissolved, the assets of the township split among Owen's children, several of the scientists and educators remained, notably establishing a laboratory that would become the headquarters of the U.S. Geological Survey. Oneida was founded in the state of New York by a charismatic leader, John Humphrey Noyes, in 1848. Its members famously practiced communal child-rearing and free love, or complex marriage, as well as mutual criticism, a collective effort to strip one another of imperfect character traits. While the intentional community dissolved in 1881 due to challenges with leadership succession, as well as moral and legal persecution from the local inhabitants, notably clergymen, its members reorganized as a joint stock company still in operation today, Oneida Limited. It is important to note that the wave of North American 19th century utopian communities did have an antecedent in the religious communities established in the 17th and 18th centuries by separatist British and Central European Protestant groups such as the Amish, Quakers, Monrovians, Puritans, and Shakers. Rejecting the church as corrupt, these groups had begun formulating alternative ways of living inspired by their own interpretations of Protestant faith. Facing persecution for this in their home countries, several opted to relocate to the New World, where they were able to establish settlements and pursue their experimental reform endeavor, which extended to many aspects of society, such as gender roles, in a freer and fuller fashion. Notably, the utopian community New Harmony was founded in a town established by and purchased from a separatist Lutheran group. The reader will have noted that the religious and utopian intentional communities highlighted in this section all emerge from the European religious and utopian tradition and are primarily enacted in colonized North America. The literature on such communal experiments is so focused, particularly for the time period examined, given their significant collective proliferation. That said, its authors are primarily American scholars. It is also imperative to acknowledge that non-European utopian philosophy, social theory, and practice is missing from the utopian studies canon, and that an emphasis on European and American enactments of intentional community remains predominant in contemporary scholarship. That said, the following section highlights the Israeli kibbutz movement, which has its own dedicated body of literature, and a later section on the more recent Indian articulations of intentional community. Government-incentivized intentional communities. In the early British colonial period, as early as the 1600s, many British subjects were encouraged and incentivized by their government to form settler colonies, primarily in the northeastern portion of the United States, a region still referred to as New England. Utopian imaginaries were intentionally used to encourage people to migrate. However, their motivations were escapist rather than reformist, with the notable exception of the religious groups highlighted in the previous section. The British government encouraged settler communities in New Zealand in the later colonial period, and these were, by contrast, actively influenced by the concurrent discourse of utopian socialism. Interestingly, both New Zealand and the United States have a rich subsequent history and present-day practice of intentional communities, following the initial establishment of settler communities. Despite the contentious utopian socialist communitarian experiments of the 19th century, the 20th century followed with the establishment of communities designed by governments, through which they sought to solve social and economic problems. In the United States, this occurred in the context of the 1930s Depression, where close to 100 communities were constructed as a form of relief and resettlement. In New Zealand, the government-designed Ohu program attempted to alleviate issues of unemployment and disaffection, particularly among youth, through planned communities as well. The kibbutz movement, another very important communitarian movement of the 20th century, came to be supported by the Israeli government as a model of national development. Interestingly, this finds echoes in the anti-colonial national development Gandhi sought to foster in India, a socio-economic and political organization based on networks of village communities. Several communities of the late 20th century, Orville among them, have also garnered governmental and United Nations support in the form of financing, partnerships, and recognition for their innovative potential and practices. I will expand on this in the upcoming section on the second wave, intentional communities. The second wave, hippie communes. The colloquially termed hippie communes of the 1960s and 1970s are referred to as the second wave of intentional communities. These were formed primarily in the United States, as well as in New Zealand, Australia, and across Europe, inspired by the celebration of emancipatory social relations in the wake of the civil rights and feminist movements, conscious protest as part of the anti-war movement, as well as the growing awareness of environmentalism. The spirit and culture of the revolutionary era of 68 was in part informed by the concurrent discovery of Indian spirituality, popularized by contemporary artists such as the Beatles, which offered tools for the individual emancipation that was seen as necessary to accompany and realize the transformation sought for society at large. Many communes incorporated elements of Indian spiritual philosophy and practices into their alternative lifestyles, and these drew young international seekers to India, some of whom joined the Orville community, founded in 1968. The number of intentional communities established in the United States in this period is greater than the sum of all previous others. However, the three most successful intentional communities, in terms of size, longevity, and recognition. Founded during this period and still active today, Orville among them, were not established in America. Findhorn is an international ecological educational community founded in Scotland by a charismatic female mystic in 1962, focused on sustainable living and made up of approximately 400 members from 40 different countries. It has been awarded the UN Habitat Best Practice designation and regularly hosts sustainability seminars in affiliation with the United Nations Institute for Training and Research. The spiritual and artistic community of Damanhur, founded in 1972 in Italy, has a current population of approximately 600, primarily comprised of Italians. It too has received a UN Global Human Settlements Award for Sustainable Communities. Orville, significantly larger with a population of 3,000, has been recognized by UNESCO in 5 of its resolutions for its contributions to the advancement of innovative and sustainable, peaceful and harmonious social, cultural, and educational development. It is also recognized and funded by the Indian government as a registered foundation under its Human Resources Ministry. All 3 of these communities are exceptional in the breadth of their activities. Each experiment with alternative forms of governance, economic and ecological practices, have their own educational institutions and health centers. Orville appears to be the most developed in terms of an autonomous alternative society, perhaps by virtue of its size. Creating institutionally complete communities, however, was not a determining feature of 1960s and 1970s communes. As such, the project of Orville is akin to that of the first wave of utopian communities, albeit practiced in the feminist, anarchist, and egalitarian spirit of the second wave of the 1960s. Eco and Co. The third wave? According to the online communities directory, there are thousands of intentional communities in existence throughout the world today. Beyond Europe, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand, on which contemporary intentional community scholarship remains focused nonetheless. Encompassing such a wide variety of aims and arrangements that contemporary scholars warn against generalization and even comparison. They may be housing cooperatives, feminist, or seek to live a low ecological footprint life, but few aspire to form the alternative societies envisioned and attempted during the first and even second wave of the movement, in which at least the basic needs of members, housing, employment, education, health, could be met. Eco-villages have emerged as a particularly strong contingent of this amorphous third wave of intentional communities. A broad contingent of communes that experiment with various dimensions of sustainability, ecological being a key focus. The term came into use in 1995 with the founding of the Global Ecovillage Network, an organization that promotes the interconnection and visibility of these communities and their sustainable practices in an effort to catalyze a global shift in lifestyles. Interestingly, in light of the caution against generalization, is the contention in Orville around the community having been affiliated with GEN by some of its members, while others do not recognize it within the category, due primarily to its focus on spirituality as the catalyst of change. From ashram to utopian society, Indian articulations of intentional community. Orville readily lends itself to being understood as part of the intentional community movement and examined in light of scholarship on the subject. It shares many characteristics with contemporary second-wave intentional communities and is the only secular, albeit spiritual, intentional community to have emerged in India. Given its close association with Sri Aurobindo, one of India's most famous spiritual figures, and his collaborator, the mother, who founded the Sri Aurobindo Ashram in the late 1920s and Auroville in the late 1960s, it is important to note Auroville's roots in the Indian ashram tradition. India has a long history of ashrams, centers where devotees of a certain spiritual figure or guru gather and often reside alongside him or her. Traditionally, ashrams were places where sadhaks, or spiritual practitioners, renounced and retreated from worldly lives in order to pursue contemplative and devotional practices, such as meditation, study, and chanting, under the guidance of the guru, as well as darshan, public or private sessions, literally viewings. In the 19th century, the phenomenon of guru organizations, in which some gurus and their ashrams take on missionary activities related to both spiritual education and humanitarianism, and establish centers internationally, began to emerge. In doing so, some sought to reform society, such as Swami Vivekananda, perhaps the forefather of this practice. The most famous current example of such a guru organization is that of Amma, Mata Amritanandamayi Devi, a female guru from Kerala who has founded numerous charitable organizations and ashrams internationally and engages in worldwide travel. The Sri Aurobindo Ashram in Pondicherry is a different type of spiritual community and endeavor. Neither a center of renunciation nor a missionary organization, the ashram was created with another object than that ordinarily common to such institutions, not for the renunciation of the world, but as a center and a field of practice for the evolution of another kind and form of life. There are no set rites or practices for the ashramites to follow. Instead, they engage in numerous secular activities of ordinary life, seeking to make them a part of their yoga or spiritual practice. One of Sri Aurobindo's iconic phrases is, "All life is yoga." All aspects of life were to be imbued with a higher consciousness in an effort to create a new life formation which will exceed the ordinary human society. Both anthropological and insider accounts of ashram life are generally lacking. The Sri Aurobindo Ashram stands out in this regard, with two books written by disciples whose object is the life of the ashram itself. Mukherjee's Sri Aurobindo Ashram, Its Role, Responsibility, and Future Destiny, is a uniquely valuable piece in that it offers an insider's assessment of the challenges and issues faced in the ashram, something often glossed over in the prevalent hagiographies of gurus, personal accounts of disciples where they exist, or the bitter criticisms of ex-members. Sri Aurobindo referred to the ashram as a first form which our effort has taken, a field in which the preparatory work has to be done. This sheds some background insight as to how and why the mother came to found Auroville in 1968 as a second form through which to realize Sri Aurobindo's vision of a life divine, an experimental township. While she acted as a managing guru of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, Auroville was to be a community developed by its own members, with no predetermined organizational structures and rules. The only Indian guru to have explicitly attempted to form a utopian community out of his ashram is Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, later known as Osho. Born in 1931, he first created an ashram in Pune in 1974. In 1981, Rajneesh and about 2,000 of his followers formed an international, intentional community in Oregon, projected to become a society of 50,000, and obtained the legal status of a city. Rajneeshpuram only lasted 4 years, after which Rajneesh relocated to the old ashram in Pune, which he renamed the Osho Commune International, today a spiritual resort. Academic work on Rajneeshpuram and the ashram in Pune emphasize the hierarchical and coercive nature of the community and the overpowering social control effectuated by the community leaders Rajneesh had appointed. Faith in the charismatic Rajneesh and the desire to remain near him overshadowed doubts regarding contentious community policies, members remaining silent for fear of being expelled. Not being dependent on a guru for its day-to-day organization, management, and development, Orville has avoided such pitfalls of charismatic leadership, prevalent in both guru-centric ashrams and intentional communities worldwide. Although Orville was founded by the mother, a guru at the head of an Indian ashram, and many Orvillians refer to records of her intentions and recommendations for the township's development, it is clearly a distinct form of spiritual community to existing Indian ashrams. Aside from their shared basis of integral yoga, the kinship between the Sri Aurobindo ashram and Orville is perhaps most obvious in the socio-economic organization of the township, something that will be addressed in Chapter 7, as well as their common pedagogical practice of integral education. While Orville historically was affiliated with the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, located in the neighboring city of Pondicherry, the community is currently registered as a secular foundation under the Human Resources Development Ministry of India's central government, and has no ties with the ashram. These developments are examined in Chapter 5. While I thus recognize Orville's roots in the ashram tradition, in my thesis, I treat such data as contextual in my theoretical framing of Orville as a spiritual and utopian intentional community. In the next section, I review existing intentional community scholarship and place my research within it. In the following chapter, I will consider the spiritual and utopian dimensions of this project. Intentional community scholarship. Why research intentional communities? I am inspired to because of the compelling personal experience of being involved in one since my birth, and comparative experiences of living in 4 other countries as a child, teenager, and adult. I am fascinated by the alternative values, ways of being, and organizing that were fostered in Orville, and the commitment of its members in perpetuating this societal experiment, which I have personally found to be immensely enriching, despite and in the midst of its challenges. I think there is something we can learn from these laboratories of social change, even though I am not sure of how applicable it will be for mainstream societies. Many other scholars, sociologists, anthropologists, psychologists, political scientists, historians, religious and utopian scholars have been drawn to exploring these experimental societies as well. Intentional community scholarship as a field of inquiry burgeoned with the emergence of the second wave 1960s communes. A substantial amount of this interdisciplinary body of work is focused on American religious communities of the 17th and 18th centuries, and first wave utopian communities of the 19th century, and includes comparative work between the first wave communities and those of the second wave by scholars writing in the midst of the latter in the early 1970s. Another focus of research has been the Israeli kibbutz community movement, established by various groups throughout the 20th century, which has also attracted a dedicated body of scholarship, some of it framing kibbutzim as utopian practice. Exceptions to these historical and geographical emphases is contemporary ethnographic research in intentional communities in Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, as well as works which examine the global proliferation of intentional communities. The most established of existing communities, Oroville, Findhorn, and Damanhur, each have been the subject of academic work. Of these, Oroville has attracted the most research in a variety of fields from environmental to religious. The historical scholarship of intentional communities, which constitutes the most significant of the body of work on these, is an impressive showcase of archival research, reconstituting and describing their social structures, norms, practices, and framing beliefs, values, and ideals. While we do get some sense of the dominant societies these groups sought to separate themselves from, and their reasons for doing so, the contemporary influences that inform their lifestyles, and the internal and external pressures that challenge their capacity to perpetuate themselves, the focus of the research remains insular. This is true even of scholars who view communitarianism as phases of social movements and critiques. As such, it is informative for scholars of intentional communities, but lacking in its bearing and contribution to understanding the process and potential of societal change inspired by utopian aspirations. This, I contend, is because in scholarship of intentional communities in general, while the alternative practices they engage in are often well documented, why and how these are adopted and sustained, and the meanings their members ascribe to this process, remains largely underexplored. What an overview of the existing collection of work on intentional communities reveals, however, is that there is no uniform set of practices that produces a successful utopian community outcome. On the contrary, it highlights the vast diversity of practices that emerge in communities to suit their unique sets of needs, and how these inevitably change throughout their lifespans, as highlighted in Pitzer's developmental communalism framework. My contributions to intentional community scholarship. Emphasizing the prefigurative utopian praxis of alternative lifestyle practices. Emphasis in my research is placed not on the documentation of the alternative practices of the Oroville community, but on why and how these emerge and are established. While Lucy Sargeson has proposed the useful theoretical framework of a transgressive utopianism through which to understand the significance of alternative, individual, and communal lifestyle practices in contemporary intentional communities, even in her work, the animating processes by which these come to be embodied and enacted in and by communities and their members remains largely underexplored, probably due to limited fieldwork. I believe that turning our attention to such praxis is key to understanding whether and how intentional communities are engaged in a process of prefigurative utopianism, and will enable us to gain insight into how this process is sustained. This I consider to be the most theoretically and practically relevant contribution that could be gained from studying them. In this thesis, I examine the role of spirituality in informing such articulations in the Auroville context. It is the promise and experience of a spiritual dimension of a paradigm shift of consciousness and its allied social change that inspires Aurovillians to invest their lives into this communal experiment, and which is key to sustaining its utopian practice. Connecting with kindred practices beyond the intentional community context. In my reading, intentional community scholarship also remains insular because it often fails to relate the practices it examines in these micro-societies with comparable ones exercised in wider social contexts, and to consider how they enrich theorizations of the latter, as well as provide relevant practical insights. Where I do highlight specific practices of the Auroville context, for example of anarchist decision-making, I will relate and examine these to comparable ones adopted in international social movements, in keeping with my objective of gaining insight into utopian practice with contemporary bearing beyond the immediate context of my field site. I hope that doing so can serve to extend the theoretical scope and contribution of intentional community scholarship in general. Autoethnographic sensibilities. Crucial for yielding insights into the animating processes of intentional community practices are insider understandings, perceptions, and experiences of community life and its dynamics. In leveraging my personal experience and positionality as a member of the Auroville community to undertake this doctoral project, I make intentional use of autoethnographic methodology to actively include these unexplored subjective dimensions in producing an academic analysis of intentional community. This is not insignificant, given that to date, individual subjectivity is largely absent from or underanalyzed in intentional community scholarship. For example, in Cantor's important work on the social mechanisms that ensure commitment in intentional communities, the individual does not figure enough as participant in these, curtailing any understandings we may have related to personal motivation and agency. Even the account of Barry Schenker, a former kibbutz member, who felt that existing literature did not adequately capture his or his peers' experiences, does not significantly differ from other work in that it remains a largely descriptive and theoretical account that lacks subjective experience and voices, including his own. Where the voices of community members are represented in work on intentional communities, these often do not include sustained analysis or grounding in ethnographic fieldwork. While Lucy Sargeson has carried out short-term, several days to 2 weeks, ethnographic fieldwork in intentional communities in the UK and New Zealand, much of her work is a descriptive classification of these. Voices of community members are present in her accounts, but they do not lead and interconnect our understanding of personal, social, and communal lives. And while Metcalfe has published collections of community member narratives, these are largely left unanalyzed. In sum, while I am undertaking research on an intentional community that has already been studied, both my research focus and methodology consist of new approaches to intentional community scholarship. My work contributes tangible understandings of the processes that shape a utopian community by focusing on how the spiritual ideals of Orville are active in shaping its public spheres. I specifically examine the community's socioeconomic and political administration, and consider how my findings can contribute to other frameworks and practices, for example, of anarchist organizing. In doing so, I aim to produce research that is relevant beyond the context of intentional communities, broadens the current scope of intentional community scholarship, and newly informs the latter with subjective sensibilities.